He got another ram in the bush. Because his kingdom is going to go on. His church is going on. And then he goes on, he says, a house divided against a house will fall. And we see that in our society today. Where the house, the husband contending with the wife. The wife contending with the husband. The children contending with both of them. The house is divided. And so the divorce rate is high, even among Christians.
Yes.
A divided house cannot stand.
Let me hear all, y'all at one time. Listen. Glad I got Jesus
down.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church, Sunday School, 9:30 a.m., worship service, 11 o'clock, Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We are walking through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that deals with faith. And it's so important, again, to revisit this particular chapter of faith known as Faith's Hall of Fame, because it reveals so many nuggets and truths about faith that are wonderful and helpful to the believer to walk through life victoriously. And it gives to us examples, people who walked by faith and had, in many cases, similar situations or greater than the ones we walked through and made it. You know, it's easy to complain about this and complain about that, but God gives us the answer in His Word. And if we would take the time, study the Scriptures, learn the principles, and practice them, God is under warrant to do for us when we utilize our faith as they did to do for us what He's done. As a matter of fact, the Scripture has already told us that everything that's written in the Word of God was written for our learning. Our learning. So that what's the sense in learning if we don't do it? And what's the sense in doing it if we don't get it? So if we would learn the principles and then do the principles, then we shall have the fruit or the profit from the principles. And this is the whole reason why I do believe God is refreshing us in this particular chapter. Now, we're going to build on this line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. Why? Because we don't want to miss nothing. Amen. Have you ever been sitting down and eating something real good? And you wanted to get every grain of rice because it was that good. I mean, you just took that fork and mashed everything. You wanted to catch every little thing because you savored the flavor. Am I talking to anybody in the house? All right. Well, that's how I want this word to be, so good that you don't want to miss anything. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. We'll launch our reading today from. And I'm going to ask for just a little quick audience participation in this, just so that, again, we are on one accord. Reverend Smith, would you come and read verse 8 for me right quick?
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, when we look at these verses, they are filled. Now, this story is about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah. And so these verses cover in a glimpse, just in a snippet of time, what happened. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Look at the word, obeyed. Obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. And we ministered from that verse, and there were three things that focused on this verse that would be helpful for us. The first one is call. The second one is commitment. And the third one is course. And I talked about with a call, you have to have contact, connection, and communication. God called Abram, who was a heathen living in a paganistic country, and made connection with him. When Abram heard, who then later became Abraham, when his name was changed by God, heard and connected with God, God communicated with him. He said to him, I want you to leave your country, leave your kindred, and leave your father's house. Now, one of the reasons why I suggest that God won't bless us many times in the place where we are is because sometimes our affiliations and associations are wrong. He was in the wrong place. It was a pagan country. So the whole country was filled with heathenistic practices and people and principles. And so he needed to remove him away from that because sometimes the influences are so great that they hinder your progress and growth. And so God has to remove you from the constant influx of bad folk and bad influences from around you. So then he goes on and he takes it and makes it a little more personal. He says kindred. So these are kinfolk, but it's also folk with kindred spirits. Friends, like birds of the feather, flock together. You know, association brings on assimilation. So he had to get him away from all of those. And then he makes it even more sensitive when he brings it to his father's house. Now, he says, I want you to move yourself from all of these folk, including your father's house influence and intimate family. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is Abram at this time was 75 years old when God called him. Not many of us would answer the phone at that time. Abram answered the phone, heard what God said. Now, Genesis 12, 1 tells you that's what God did. He made that call to Abram. But verse 2 and 3 reveals to him what he would do if he obeyed God. First of all, God told him, he said, I will make of thee a great nation. 1. 2. I will bless thee. 3. I will make thy name great. 4. Thou shalt be a blessing. 5. I will curse them who bless them who bless thee. 6. I will curse them who curse thee. And then 7, he says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So after he heard that, it was like, man, verse 4 says, so he departed. He left that pagan country and went out not knowing whither he went. So now that's important. Now, to obey means you have to be committed. Now, to be committed, there must be at least three things. One, you've counted up the cost. Count up the cost. See, you can't be committed if you just halfway thought this thing through. God wants somebody who realize it won't be peachy and creamy every day. The sun won't shine every day. You're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have some bad days, some good days. But you've got to be committed to see the thing through. And so first thing he realized was he counted up the cost because God told him what he had to do. And when he realized what he had to do and realized what he was going to, the Bible says, so he departed. He didn't even waste no time. He counted up the cost as God was saying to him. Now, wow, wait, I'm 75 years old. Now, but yet what he was going to was better than what he had. So he obeyed. And second thing is, after you count up the cost, you have to continue through crises. Now, what's the difference about that? Well, most of us, will continue until crises come. And then we'll be like, no, Lord, you'd be like Isaiah, I volunteer for the job. Then you holler, how long am I going to have to deal with this now? Well, you have to deal with it till it's through, till it's over. So you also have to continue through crises. But then the third thing is you have to complete your course. Not the course, your course. Because your course is important to everything that God promises you. Now, remember when they talked about Paul, Paul made it clear. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, notice what he says. I finished my course. My course, not everybody's course, mine. And my course means it's a customized course. Yours look different from anybody else's. So don't look at other folk. You can get discouraged by looking at other folk courses because yours is customized for you. Why am I going through this and they're not going? Because maybe they're not getting what you're going to get at the end of your course. Maybe God has not promised them what he's promised you. So you got to keep your focus on your own course to complete it. But then it talks about course because he says, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, here's what I want to tell you about your course. There would be challenges on your course. Don't think that because God customized your course, you won't have any challenges. The devil has already made clear he's not going to let you get from point A to point B without interference. You will have to go through him. You will have to go over him. You will have to go under him, or you will have to go around him. But he's going to be there. So you're going to have some challenges. But you also need to know you're going to have some changes on your course. Every now and then, there are going to be some detours that reroute you, that sometimes make you have to go longer than you had planned to go. Or sometimes God may make your course shorter than you would have had to go. So sometimes he takes you off the scenic route and puts you on the expressway. And so sometimes I'm just trying to help somebody say, who's used to doing everything the same way every day, all day, that sometimes your course will change. And be ready to change with your course. But then the last thing about your course you need to understand is you're going to also have to make some choices. Because with changes and challenges will come choices. And your choices have to be consistent with the commitment that you made. And this is what Abraham teaches us in this verse, that we have got to hear the call, know God, communicate with him. We have got to commit ourselves, and then we've got to stay the course. But then the next verse says, in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Listen, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the sons or the heirs of the same promise. Now, when you look at this word, sojourn means to go with someone going in the same direction. So he didn't go by himself. He had others with him. He originally started off with Lot, his nephew, his brother's son, and went on his course. They later became separated. But what you will recognize is the word says that he journeyed in the promised land as in a strange country. Not strange land, but strange country. Country is larger in context than land. So here's what it means. It meant he was journeying in the place of promise, and it seemed, though it was promised to him, one unfamiliar territory. It was unfamiliar territory. It was unfamiliar because it was strange, meaning unusual, and it was unfamiliar to him. And because it was unfamiliar to him, the people were unusual. The place was unusual. Things were unusual. Now, they were unfamiliar because they too were unusual. They were not things he was used of communicating with, used of seeing, used of being around, used of understanding. So one, it was unfamiliar. Two, it was I just told y'all, what was it? Unusual, thank you very much. Lord, keep my mind. Unusual, but the third thing was, it was uncommon. Everything about the promised land was uncommon to him. It was not stuff he was familiar with. Two men had to carry a cluster of grapes. Walled cities built tall and high for great protection. Houses built that looked like they were made for giants. Oh yeah, they were. There were giants in that land. It was an uncommon land. Everything about the promised land that God said that he was going to give to him was unusual, uncommon, and unfamiliar to him. What does that say to us? That when God promises us, don't think that what he promises is going to be stuff we're familiar with, stuff we're used to, and stuff that's common. So you're going to have to get used of the unused, the stuff that you're unused to, the stuff that you're unfamiliar with, the stuff that's uncommon. And so sometimes when it looks strange to you, know that God has upgraded you. Y'all don't hear me. If you got a little bitty car that has no creature comforts with it, it's unfamiliar when you get in a top quality car with buttons, bells, and whistles. You ain't used to all of this kind of stuff. You ain't used to driving down the road, and when you turn, the seat grabs you. It embraces you because when you're going into a curb, it holds you with lumbar support to keep you from sliding in the seat. Y'all ain't talking to me like you're familiar. I mean, you can go on through with it, but I'm just trying to tell you, when God upgrades you, it's stuff that's unfamiliar, that you're not used to, and that's not common. And so, but he did dwell in tabernacles, tents, temporary tents, which they lived in and they worshiped God in, because he had a goal. And the revelation of the goal comes later, but he dwelt in temporary tents because he was looking for something. And the word is, he dwelt there with Isaac and with Jacob. Now, when you begin to look at this word again, and then you move on, and the word says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. And foundation means beginning principles or institution or systems of truth. In other words, he wanted to go to where truth began. He wanted to go where truth lived. He wanted to go where God was. So notice the word says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wanted to go to a city where the architect and the contractor was God. Y'all ain't hearing me right here. He wasn't looking for what man built, what man made. He was looking for a city where God dwelt, and God himself was the builder and maker, the contractor and architect. Why? Because he wanted that kind of relationship and dwelling with God. He was literally looking for the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. He wasn't looking for the Old Jerusalem. He was looking for the New Jerusalem. That's why he dealt dwelt rather in tabernacles, because he was down here on earth looking for the new Jerusalem that will come but had not yet come. Then verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Listen, when? To receive strength to conceive seed when she was old. The word says that she delivered a child when she was old. Why? Because she received strength to conceive strength and was delivered of a child when she was past age, when she was old. As a matter of fact, the record says in Genesis 18 and 12, she laughed when she found out. Told Abram, you mean to tell me now that I've got, she said, waxed or waxened old. She would have pleasure of a Lord. Now, let me, you read that 18:12 Genesis. If you back up to the 17th chapter, the 15th and 16th verse, when God tells Abram to change Sarai's name to Sarah, because she was going to be the mother of nations, of many nations, excuse me, even Abraham laughed. Now, in the 18th chapter, she hears this word, she's going to be the, you know, mother of many nations, etc. And she laughs. Therefore, the name of Isaac is laugh or laughter. Now, that's interesting, because what I do want you to recognize is she gets this word that she's going to be the mother of many nations. She is well stricken in age, one writer says. And waxen means to wear out. One of the definitions of this is to use fully of all. So now, what she's saying to Abram was, I'm past the age. I have passed menopause. I have passed the age of reproduction. Everything about me that would suggest that I could have a child has dried up and is long gone. But here is the point. She makes clear that even before she had waxed old, that Abraham used her up trying to have a child and could not bear a child in their most useful, productive days. Now that she's old, she's going to have a child and a son in particular? Now, this is interesting. Sarah laughs. But at first, I didn't understand the laugh because I thought it was a laugh of doubt. But the record clearly says that she judged him faithful who had promised. So you know how sometimes you hear something that's so unbelievable that you laugh, but it's not because you doubt. It's like, wow, what? I'm going to have a what? What? Yes, indeed. I'd like to see that. And the Lord told him, he said, you know, by this time next year, by the time of life, the cycle, etc., meaning after she has gotten pregnant and her 9 months are up, she's going to have a son. But here's what I really want you to focus in on. She was said to have had been given this promise of a S-O-N, son. She laughed, one, because her season had expired. Her season had expired. Now, next, her opportunities were over. Her opportunities were over. Next, her new beginnings had ended. S-O-N, son, season, opportunity, new beginnings. Now, in the natural and in the flesh, it appeared that everything